Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The power of the living God provides for us what has just been sung. What has touched our hearts and minds is the power of salvation itself. And among the early followers of Christ, walking right off the pages of the New Testament, where his story touches our life today, was a man called Peter. And when Peter was living his life, he stumbled all along the way, but he stumbled in God's direction. And maybe at this time in your life, you feel like you stumble. And the hope and the promise of God is that you may stumble in God's direction. And in that promise, towards the end of his life, Peter wrote a spiritual memoir. It's called A Book in the Bible of 1 Peter. He summarized what he had learned by following and feeling God's grace catching him with each stumble and empowering him to live out the faith story. He wrote in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our care upon God because he cares for you, that you and I together may bring the hurts of our life and the hopes in our soul into the very presence of God because he cares for us. That same New Testament word for cares could be translated anxiety, that we live in anxious times. In the midst of these times of COVID-19 and other major pressures being placed upon our world and our individual lives, know that this is how you may pray each day. Oh Lord, I cast my care upon you. I bring my anxieties to you because you care for me. And through that, we are calmed and centered in him so that the circumstances don't define us, but we are able to bring his power into the circumstances of our lives so that he may show his power. It was a lesson learned by Peter along the way, where he had to come to himself in that understanding. And he understood that we can figure out what is going on by looking what God is doing. You've had that moment where you're not sure what's happening and you're trying to get some reference points as to figure it out. When I was a college student at Baylor, I had a motorcycle accident, awakened in the intensive care unit of the hospital, and then I began to get reference points of what was happening. I was coming to my senses. Some people I've said I've never fully recovered from that, and I'm still trying to figure things out along this way. And so that's when the difficulty, a crisis hits to us, and we're just trying to assimilate our awareness of what this means. But there's also the kind of news that is so overwhelmingly good, so powerfully filled with the hope of God, we're trying to catch up to what it means, like Peter did when Christ was resurrected, when he ran to the tomb and he saw that it was empty. He was trying to discover what that meant. Now we find 15 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, we find ourselves in the middle of this incredible book of Acts, in Acts 12 that Ethan read for us. And as a story of 15 years later, here's Peter now, someone who has the momentum built in his life by confidence in who God is so that he may be bold in a confusing world. And you may bring the clarity of your life to be bold because you have been shaped by the presence of God. It's not a boldness out of arrogance. It's not a boldness out of conceit in your separate abilities. But it's a boldness because you're allowing yourself to be humbly shaped for him, but to be a force, an impact in this world. As we come to ourselves in light of who God is, then everything in our life begins to make more sense. Yesterday afternoon in our chapel, it was a beautiful wedding in COVID-19 circumstances. It was a beautiful wedding of Jared and Sarah. Jared Sarbinski, the son of Dean and Dee. And Jared and Sarah knew each other in high school. And then their lives went different directions. They learned a lot along life's way, including some pain and difficulty with stumbles of life, like has been true of my life. But all the while, God was working within them. they were casting their care upon him, and he was giving care to them, and a wisdom, a way of seeing, a way of asking the question, Lord, what are you doing with me? And the Lord's answer was, look to me, and I will show you the way. So in their early 30s, they rediscovered each other. But in their rediscovery, they realized they were ready for each other. It was a right time in their life. From a friendship love, they grew into a romance love, and a romance love have grown now into the exchanging the vows of being husband and wife. It's the promise of knowing what goes before us is a God who prepares a path by which we can boldly pursue his lead. And they know that the vows that they exchanged with each other yesterday are vows bigger than what they could fully understand in the midst of their wedding ceremony. But along the way in their marriage, they will see the truth about to love and to cherish, to have and to hold from that day forward. For times when they're better or for worse in sickness and health, or richer or poorer, according to God's holy ordinance, they can bring their marital love and God will show them his pathway. Well, life will hit us hard at times. Life will come and will knock us down. When life events come, they can knock us down, but not out if we fall in God's direction. Earlier this morning when I was driving to our Mulberry campus and preparing for today's service, I drove by the corner of a 90-year-old man who we've chatted from time to time, and I paused for a moment to catch up and see how he was doing. And in the midst of his life and his teaching, I could see a man who had seen a lot in life and who was seeing our current crisis and circumstance in light of all that had gone before him. And it's that kind of perspective that we may gain in time to be true and to show up for life today and be fully who we are today in light of the Lord, so that when tomorrow comes, we too are ready then because of how we have lived today. Now, where did that take Peter? This same Peter, the same Peter who, when he was a disciple of Jesus and Jesus was in their midst for a three-year ministry teaching what it meant for him to be Savior and be the Lord. Peter was in the boat, and many of you recall the story out of Matthew 14, and he saw that Jesus was walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee, and he called out with an exuberance, Jesus, can I come join you and walk on the water with you? Jesus said, you can, if you will. And so he hopped on the water, and as you may recall the story, he was walking on the water until he realized he was walking on the water, and he began to sink. And Jesus reached out the hand and saved him from drowning. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, Peter, why do you doubt? Now, the word doubt there is important to understand. The doubt is the kind of doubt that Peter had wasn't that this isn't the Christ, not that Jesus wasn't walking on the water, not that he himself wasn't walking on the water for a brief time, but could he continue to walk on the water? Could he continue to do this? It was a self-doubt in light of who Christ is. And that self-doubt in light of who Christ is where we lose the power in the living of our faith. And so Acts 12 is now Peter, years later, who had learned that faith lesson, and he was living the story in a way that he was leading the movement of the Christ followers. It had caught the attention of the king of Israel. His name was Herod Agrippa. His grandfather was called Herod the Great, and the one who was the ruler when Jesus was born, and it was the same Herod who was a power sick man who had the boys in Bethlehem, two and younger, to be killed because Herod wanted to kill off the coming of the Messiah. He was the nephew of Herod Antipas, the same one who had beheaded John the Baptist. This is the same one who would be called Herod Agrippa, who when he was a boy, his mother would send him to Rome to protect his life, and his play buddy there would be Caligula, one of the most atrocious emperors of the Roman Empire's history. And now, he was ruling with the authority of the Roman Senate and the Caesar, ruling over Israel with that same kind of power understanding, not out of love, not out of care, but out of intimidation. And so Herod had given the order, and indeed James, the brother of John, one of the inner circles of Jesus' apostles, was killed by the sword, by the order of this Herod. And now he had Peter arrested, thrown into the fortress where he was residing in Jerusalem. And there in the Antonian fortress, Peter was a prisoner. And just so that Herod would show that he had the power over all the followers of Christ, had the power over the Christ himself, he had 16 guards and 4 squads to guard him. Peter was always chained to 2 of them. And on the evening before the dawn where Peter was to be executed, God did a miracle. Now, the hand of God did not save James, the brother of John, an inner circle of his own discipleship, from being killed by the sword. And there are martyrs today around the globe, more martyrs today of the Christian faith than any other time in Christian history. But in the witness and the power of God, there are times and again where you and I are saved out of a circumstance in order to glorify what God can do. And so, was Peter worried about what was going to happen the next day? No. He was sound asleep. He was so asleep that when the angel came, this messenger of God, a heavenly presence in an earthly dungeon, he had to nudge him, wake him up. I'm known for my startling response when somebody in my family tries to wake me up when I'm in the middle of sleep. They will come and nudge my shoulder, and then they'll step back. There was the angel getting Peter awake, and he awoke. And then the miracle of God over space and time set him free from the bondage of chains and walked him through one door and a set of guards, another set of doors and guards, out into the main street. And the angel walked him halfway down the street, and then the angel was gone, having served his purpose. Now Peter, fully empowered to absorb what was happening, it was said in the scripture that he came to himself. Now what was happening in Acts 12:5 is that at the same time the church was praying. The church was praying for Peter. And they're praying for themselves. They're praying the persecution wouldn't set out again like it had in the time of Stephen. And while they were praying, the miracle of God was happening in the midst of the prison where Peter was. These stories were coming together. The people who had been knocked down but not out because they were landing in the direction of God. Yesterday morning, you as the Trinity family, you by way of brothers and sisters who are members of our Bountiful Blessings ministry, one of our 4 food ministries as a church. Out in the Mulberry parking lot, just in front of the chapel and just outside these doors, cars began to line up from 7:30 in the morning and before the crew finished their work at 10 o'clock. 400 people, 100 families would be served in the name of Jesus. For part of that time, it was my privilege to stand at the driver's door, masked up, but to ask how each one was doing. In the midst of the brothers and sisters of our church family doing the work and bringing together the food that was provided and seeing the effect of the personal relationships that members have with each one who was coming through the drive-through experience of a bountiful blessing. Many of these people had been knocked down, but by the ministry that you provide of a physical food in the name of Christ, help them not to be knocked out, for us to be able to be landing in God's direction together. Life events then can knock us down but not out when we land in God's direction, then we are have the sense of a desire to see what God will do that leads us to a dedication. Two, that we can wake up. We can wake up to see that this indeed is what God has unfolded. So again, Peter, having been freed from the dungeon, being out on the street, no longer in chains, no longer one of the 16 Roman soldiers guarding over him, no longer with the axe of the decapitation that was awaiting him by the order of Herod, where did he go? But he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, maybe the aunt of Barnabas. Mary had one of the largest homes among the believers in Jerusalem. And in her home, she would host Christian gatherings. And in her home, he trusted that that's where everyone would be. And as he went to the home, he wanted to deliver a message about God's power in our life. When people see you coming, what message do they see arriving? When people hear your voice, what message do they hear from you? The sense of when we communicate our lives, we're communicating who we are. Do we communicate who we are in light of who God is in us? A friend from Phoenix posted this photograph of the sun in the midst of a beautiful sunset over the mountains and the cascading colors over the desert and cascading a clear vision of God, the beauty of God's creation. To be able to have the eyes of faith to see that not just for its physical beauty, but something larger is going on in the midst of a world where there is so much ugly behavior. There is a witness of God in creation about a beauty that's giving life and how a desert stirs with that promise. So that your life may be like a witness of God's ray of hope, stirring across the desert for people thirsting for something in their life that's worthy, and the power of the Christ indeed who is worthy. So in 12:11 is when it was said that Peter came to himself, and then he said, I then will go and tell the story of how the angel had rescued me from Herod's clutches, and how the religious leaders are going to have their hopes disappointed who had wanted to have him killed. There are many people that will relish when our lives are broken and we can't get them back together again. But the power of the living Lord is that when our lives are hurting, he is able to weave together in his loving hands the healing of our soul and our mind and our body as a witness to him. In the midst of the racial wounds within our world, within our society, how important it is for the church to be leading the way about healing. Healing by going deep inside of us and to say, if there's anything inside of me that holds anything against someone of a different background and race, Lord, I give that to you that you will take it away from me. I repent and I will change. Because the call of Christ in our life with conversion is it brings us to the moment of transformation where our finances and our relationships are political ideology, everything has to go through the transforming values of God. And then we find ourselves being set free, coming to the awareness of ourselves. The power of that is called discipleship. And it turns us into a miraculous witness about God's grace and power. So we've had a desire that when life will knock us down, but not out because we're falling in God's direction, that's the desires of our life. That's when Lord, I'm desiring to be with you. I'm desiring for you to take hold of my life and to guide me. And the dedication is then a discipline to keep that moving forward. And then we are formed and fashioned as a disciple of his in this world. And then God turns us into this witness about his grace and power unfolding. Now that's something all of us may be able to do. You know, I see right here, Jim Varnes, sitting with family. He and Lupita, married in their mid-30s, She passed away a few weeks ago, and she was 98. They were married for more than 60 years. Many people marrying in the mid-30s wouldn't expect to see a 50th wedding anniversary, much less 60-plus. So Jared and Sarah, I told them that story, who in their early 30s, I said, let your dedication continue to shape you like disciples in God's great purpose, and to see what he will do from anniversary to anniversary to anniversary. So when Peter, in this story, went down the street, went to the home of Mary, who taken the resources of safety and provided them for the believers where people could gather, because who knew if they wouldn't be coming for them next. Peter knocked at the door. He knocked at the door, and people heard it on the inside and thinking, who is that? So Rhoda, her name is given, maybe translated Rose. Rhoda went to the door, and she called back to everybody else and said, it's Peter. And she didn't let him in. She was so excited to see prayers were being answered. It was Peter. And Peter had to keep knocking on the door. Now you realize he got out of prison, not in his own power. God had provided that. But to get into the house, he needed to keep knocking. And it's a combination of things that God will do what only God can do, because we then can do what only we can do. When Jesus said to Peter and all followers, if you ask and seek and knock, when you knock on the door, it'll be open to you. But in your asking, you're asking in the desires of your life, Lord, lead me. When you're seeking, you're being shaped and formed by dedication. You're becoming a different person along the way. And when the door is opened, as you knock upon it, it is that opportunity of a God-sized presence, releasing a power for you to be the witness of an answered prayer. And so Peter got in. And as he got in, he told them the story. And he told them the story of the magnificence of God's grace, casting all his care upon him. God gave care to him and for them. And then Peter said something interesting. He said, now go tell James, who's the leader of the church in Jerusalem, who was the physical brother of Jesus. Go tell them and all their elders, and for you to know what has happened, so that everyone may be encouraged by this miracle of God. And then it said Peter went to another place, because Herod had not finished his work. Herod was going to be sending the bounty hunters after him. And for the people in the house of Mary, these early believers, to prepare themselves for what might still come their way. And in the promise of God, we can live our lives and know that we always belong to him. Alana Cruz is a beautiful member of our church. She and Sergio have beautiful children. They're from Brazil. And Alana's dad and stepmother, living in Cuiabá, Brazil, passed away of COVID-19, just 9 days apart from each other, earlier this month. The awareness that this plague, this pandemic that is truly global, has this power to affect our lives. But in their death, even in their death, they are not defeated. Even in their death is the resurrection power of a new life in the time and place called heaven. But for us on this side of the death, it is the absolute promise and the awareness that God wants us to be the kinds of disciples that reveal the full power of what God may do in our lives. Peter came to himself. Now, I don't know if y'all suffer what I suffer from too often. I don't always know what I know when I need to know it. As you've learned it, you know it. But here's a circumstance that just comes, whoa, catches you by surprise, catches me by surprise, and I'm thinking, trying to get my balance, and then I can forget what it is that God had shown me or what I had learned in the midst of the circumstance. But that's where prayer comes. We pause, we calm in light of his care. And then we find our balance, and we discover that we can know what we know as we need to know it in that moment, and that God will say, now keep looking, because I've got something more I want to teach you. I want something more that you need to learn. And to Peter, God had set him. The last words that Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John were saying, follow me. Set them to Peter. Says them to us. Feed my sheep. Follow me. Feed my sheep. Follow me. Do you love me? Follow me. Feed my sheep. That's how we live each day. With the forward movement of being this glorious, the witness of God's glory and power from our lives. There is the angel that comes from like a gift from heaven that is beyond our earthly norm. But there's also the angel that comes in flesh and blood like you and me, that we would be God's gift of care into the lives of others so that they too may come to themselves and see who God is. Our invitation is a time of response, whether by live stream or Facebook Live, whether here in person, is the sense of this is a moment of the asking and seeking and knocking, that life has brought you to this place in the power of God to allow Him to take you as Savior and Lord. So in the midst of this worship moment, for some is to say, Lord, I've been wanting to know if this is true, and you are true. You indeed are the living source as Savior and Lord. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness. I believe in you as the Son of God. I commit my life to you. As a seeker becoming a believer, as a believer joining into the life of Trinity, as a believer maybe newly renewed and empowered by this, God, what God is doing in your life. But oh, don't let the moment be lost, the moment of opportunity of what God wants to do with you right now.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.